Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Growing in Grace, the podcast that we've been doing here for almost 20 years. My name is Joel Breezeke. They call me the Breeze Man, along with Mike Kapler. They call him the Cap, and we have been doing this again. Next year, it's going to be 20 years, and we're actually almost to podcast number 1,000, so we probably should be starting to think about something special to do for that. Who knows? it's a milestone, but I like the things we talk about on this podcast, Cap. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't be doing it for so long if we didn't like the stuff we talk about. But we also hope that you, the listener, that you enjoy what we're talking about. And some of the stuff that we've been discussing here, we were talking in between recordings here that, man, this is just, we just love this stuff. This is just, we love talking about this stuff. Can't get enough of it. And so we're going to continue on with some things we were talking about last week. The, you know, talking about how the law, Hebrews 7, talks about how with there being a change of the priesthood, by necessity, there must be a change of the law. Not just a little edit, not just, well, this part is going to be taken out, or this part's going to change, but it's a removal of the entire law itself. And there's a reason why the entire thing had to be taken away. And so I know that that brings to mind the question, you know, didn't Jesus say, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill. We'll get to that. So rest assured, we'll get to that, because there are some rich things to talk about regarding that too. But in Hebrews 7, I mean, when you follow along, you know, the writer did not write in chapters and verses. It's another thing we were talking about here. It's so rich what the writer says in Hebrews that you can't just take a verse here or there and just think that that makes the argument for anything. You got to keep on reading. And so you read all the way from Hebrews 7 through 8 through 9 through 10, and there are so many great things said about why, again, the Old Covenant law was weak and useless, weak and unprofitable, says one version. The law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. That's huge right there. Hebrews 7:19. The former commandment, the law he's talking about, was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing of in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. A person couldn't really draw near to God through the old covenant, through the old law, the law of Moses. It was weak and useless and unprofitable for that. But there's the bringing in of a better hope. And what is that better hope? Well, it's Jesus. He himself is the covenant, the new covenant, through which we draw near to God. So it couldn't happen through what was done in the Old Testament, through the law. The law couldn't do that. It had to be done away with and replaced with something through which there is a better hope. And again, that's through Jesus Christ. I'll let you in on this, Cap, I suppose. It's something we both do here, this podcast. Maybe you have something to say.
Well, I told you after the last program that the more you understand this, and we never stop learning, right? Mm-hmm. We never stop understanding. But the more we understand this stuff, like what we're looking at here in Hebrews 7 and how it ties into so many other passages, not only here in Hebrews, as he continues talking, like you said, over the next several chapters, but other places in the Bible, how it ties into all of that. And we begin to see things in such a different way. It's amazing. So the law made nothing perfect, but perfection was the requirement. So that's a bummer. I mean, the writer here called that old law, that old ministry of death and condemnation, he called it weak, unprofitable, useless. it had to be put aside. It had to be annulled. It had to be nullified. it had to be canceled. I'm looking at Thayer's Greek lexicon, uses the word abolition, an abolished ministry. You can't say it much plainer than this. It to suggest that such a ministry continues, again, as we said last week, and I can't emphasize this enough, to suggest that this ministry continues in any way, shape, or form, is to suggest that Jesus is not the high priest.
Right.
And that kind of breaks the whole thing down, if that were true. So I say this, oh boy, I hate this phrase because it's been used on me a lot of times, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. I say this in love.
We receive it in love,
the
brother.
The bomb is about to drop. I'm not trying to be critical, but stop saying that the law is still in place, that it still has a function. Please stop that. I just say that as a brother in Christ. Begin to let the Holy Spirit show us how this thing really played out. Because we can't be talking out of both sides of our mouth. We grace people. We can't just say that, you know, the law became obsolete, but it's still in place. I mean, this is double talk. And I know we're all capable of doing that. We're all human. We're all learning and growing and trying to understand this stuff. And it's simple, but it can be complicated at times, right? Because we think too much, probably. I don't know. But as was mentioned a couple of programs ago, Jesus, verse 27 of Hebrews 7, he does not, like the other priests who come and go, who would die and get replaced through the law, Jesus does not need daily to do like those priests did. They offered up sacrifices daily, first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people, because Jesus did something better. He did this once. He did it for all. He offered up himself. And then it wraps up the chapter here with the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, because the law was weak. But the word of the oath, which came after the law.
Whoa.
It came after the law. It appoints a son. This new thing appoints a son made perfect forever. So perfection is a big theme here, and perfection continue. You know, he goes on to explain all this, Joel, in the next chapter and the next chapter, and then he even comes to chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, since it was has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices of animal blood, which they offer continually year after year, make perfect those who draw near. It couldn't make people perfect. The implication here is there is a sacrifice that did bring perfection. Now, we often use the phrase, oh, nobody's perfect. And that's true based upon what we do and how we behave and how we perform. That is true, because the problem is sometimes even the best of us in regarding the grace of the gospel will sometimes still get our identity snagged on outward appearances.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Instead of what Christ has done inwardly. Because you see, since he has been perfected and we've been placed into him, guess what? Let's connect the dots. We've been perfected.
Right. And again, that's something that could not happen under the old way, under the law. The sacrifice of Jesus, it provided the forever forgiveness of all sins. What happened under the old covenant, in those sacrifices, it says in Hebrews 10:3, there is a reminder of sins every year. And so what are we doing as believers? Well, we've believed upon Jesus, and yet we keep reminding ourselves of our sins as if the blood of Jesus never accomplished anything. But the blood of Jesus took away sins. And again, this all had to do with the removal of the law. The law had to be removed. It had to be taken out of the way. Let me put it this way. In Galatians 3, you know, I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of Galatians 3, at least not right now, but it says, for those who are of the law are under the curse. And he's talking about the people of Israel, those who were under the law, under the curse. But it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know how he did that? It's by the law being taken out of the way. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Through the oath of God and the blood of Jesus, the people of Israel have been redeemed from the curse of the law so that, this is Galatians 3:14, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that we might receive this promised Spirit through faith. So it's not like a lot of people believe, and like I used to believe, we receive the promised Spirit through faith, and then we're no longer under the curse, and then we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. No, we've got it backwards. It's that Jesus redeemed the people of Israel from the curse of the law so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So Jesus went upon the cross, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Paul reminds his readers in Galatians 3:13, so that this promised Spirit could come that we receive by faith. Now, but Joel, Jesus did say in Matthew 5:17, and maybe there's
Joel, before you go on to Matthew 5.
Yeah, sure. I figured there might be more.
I just want to emphasize what you just said here in Galatians 3. And I know we spent some time in Galatians recently, and we hit on this, but it bears repeating because people don't hear every program, right? When Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, as Paul said it, he wasn't referring to us Christians, but to the Jews. Us Jews were redeemed from this curse because we were the ones who were under it, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to you Gentiles, right, so that we would receive, all of us would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He was spending his time explaining to these Gentile people who were being persuaded to inject the law into their belief system after having come freely to Christ, freely by the Spirit, through faith, and now they were being encouraged by some outsiders who came in and said, oh, you need to include some of the law with this too. And he's basically spending the letter telling them, you were never under the law, stay away from it, you're not a part of it. So he's not saying that Christ redeemed us Christians,
right,
from the curse of the law. It was a Jewish thing, but Jesus, having torn down that wall, that law, that barrier, that thing that divided Jew and Gentile, because it was broken down by Christ who abolished it in his flesh, this allowed for the promise of the Spirit through faith to come upon the Gentiles as well.
Right. And Paul talks about this in Ephesians 2 as well. That's what you were talking about.
Right,
for he himself
right.
is our peace, who has made both one, both Jews and Gentiles one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. He's talking about the law, because he says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So it was by that law being abolished in his flesh, it was by that being abolished that God was able to make one new man from the two, an entirely new race, so to speak, one new man from Jews and Gentiles. He took Jews and Gentiles and made one new man from them. That's what he's saying in Ephesians 2, and it's also what he's saying in Galatians 3, so that in Christ Jesus, Christ redeemed us. He's talking about his fellow Jews from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. See what happened here? The law had to be done away with so that this could happen. The law itself was only for a certain time. Just sticking with Galatians here real quick then. Why then the law? Paul says in verse 19 of Galatians 3, it was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come, until the seed should come. That's Jesus Christ, to whom the promise was made. And verse 23, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law. Again, the people of Israel, they were the ones who were under the law. They were the ones who were held captive under the law, imprisoned till the coming faith would be revealed. The coming faith that would be revealed goes back to verse 8 and 9, those who are of faith being blessed, the promise that was made to Abraham. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. So the law had a purpose until Christ came, and then it was broken down and wiped out and taken out of the way. And so I know that a lot of people have a problem with this, and it's mainly, I guess in large part, because Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For shortly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled." So there's all these untils there. So, okay, so how does that work then? Well, think about what we've been talking about. Think about the jot or the tittle that says that priests must come from Levi. Okay, remember? In Hebrews, it says that the law says that priests must come from Levi. Well, it looks to me like that little jot or tittle passed away because, like we've been talking about, if not, then Jesus couldn't be high priest. But Jesus said one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Well, guess what? All was fulfilled. Here's what would happen. Jesus could have said, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law, period. He could have stopped there. And then we would have a problem, because then Jesus couldn't be high priest, because at least some jots or tittles from the law have passed away. But he adds, until all is fulfilled. That's the beauty of this. In the context there, all being fulfilled, he's talking about the law and the prophets. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Well, guess what? He did fulfill the law and the prophets. So, but doesn't heaven and earth have to pass away first? For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Well, I was thinking about this. A few weeks ago, our supervisor at work said, you know what? He texted everybody, said, everybody is free to go home today early. Just make sure all your stuff is done. So if he would have worded it like in the language that Jesus used here, he could have said, assuredly, I say to you, until the end of the day, nobody can go home until all your work is done. So was he saying that nobody can go home until the end of the day? Well, if you take the first part of the sentence, until the end of the day, nobody can go home. Now, if you just leave it like that, then yeah, nobody can go home until the end of the day. But he says, until all your work is done. In other words, he's not saying that the end of the day has to come before you go home. He's saying that make sure all your stuff is done, and then you can go home. So Jesus isn't saying that heaven and earth have to pass away before one jot or tittle will pass from the law. He's saying that it won't happen until all is fulfilled. It is going to happen before heaven and earth pass away. So, I mean, we just don't pay attention to context. We don't read what is really being said, and we don't understand that after Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, that, well, he did fulfill it, and then, as Ephesians says, it was broken down, it was abolished in his flesh. As Colossians says, it was wiped out, taken out of the way, and nailed to the cross. As Galatians says, it was only up until the time that Christ came, and then it was gone. And as Hebrews says, it was made obsolete. there are all these things that show us that the law is no longer in place, and yet we're still trying to prop it up and hold it up. But I think my main point here, before I pass it back to you and we wrap things up here with the time that I'm looking at here, is that if the law was still in place, Jesus could not be the high priest, because the law said that the priesthood had to come from Aaron and not from Judah.
Right. So let's wrap this up next week, because I think there's more to be said, more to share on what you were just talking about there with what Jesus said in Matthew 5. I'll leave with this, though, going back to what Paul stated in Galatians 3, and it's really not the only place where this is implied, but he pointed out the law had an expiration date.
Yes. Right.
When was it? Until the seed, Christ, would come, to whom the promise was made. We talked about the promise in Hebrews as well. So again, the law, when I say the law, by the way, we're not just talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the, you can include that, but it includes all of the commandments, all 600 plus that were within that Mosaic law. So the law had an expiration date, an annulment date, a nullification date, a cancellation date, an abolished date, and it was until the seed should come. So let's focus just a little bit more, take it just a little bit further on what Joel was talking about when Jesus said that about the law not being abolished in Matthew chapter 5, and how it seems to conflict with some of the things that Paul said. Not unusual to see some conflicts between what Jesus said to Jewish disciples who were under the law during the Sermon on the Mount compared to what Paul was saying after the cross and resurrection, after the new covenant had been ratified.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.